Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz, and today we will be studying Divrei HaYamim Bet, Perek Dalet. So in a continuation of our learning, we are studying Shlomo and his building of the Beit HaMikdash. We continue with the exciting process of building the house for God with King Shlomo. And Perek Dalet, it is a very detailed and descriptive chapter that tells us about Shlomo and all the kelim, the vessels, the implements that are made to adorn the Beit HaMikdash. Let us not forget he is a master craftsman named Huram, who will be in charge of overseeing this process. So the Perek begins, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayas Mizbeach Nechoshes, and he made a Mizbeach of copper. Now we know that the purpose of the copper altar, as we know from the learning of Truma and Tetzava, the construction of the Mishkan in Sefer Shemos, the copper altar is known also as the Mizbeach HaChitzoni, the outer altar, Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the copper altar, also the Mizbeach HaOla, the Mizbeach where they brought the Ola sacrifices, because the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, copper altar, is used for animal sacrifices. Unlike the Mizbeach HaPnimi, Mizbeach HaKetores, Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden altar, inner altar, or altar for the incense burning, which was inside the sanctuary. That is only used for the spice mixture, the Ketores, that was offered daily. The outer altar, known as Mizbeach HaNechoshes, is used for animal sacrifices. And that is how this parak begins, describing the altar used for animal sacrifices. Vayas Mizbeach Nechoshech, Esrim Ama Arko, Ve'esrim Ama Rochbo, Ve'esra Amo, Amos Komaso. He made an altar of bronze for the temple. The length was 20 cubits. The width was 20 cubits. 20 cubits is roughly 10 meters. And the height was 10 cubits. Rabbi Adin Steinzalt's comments, this altar was very large as it had to hold all the offerings that would be brought to the temple. Again, like I mentioned, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes is also known as the Mizbeach HaOla, the Mizbeach, the altar for burnt sacrifices, because animal offerings are offered on the Mizbeach. Says Rabbi Adin Steinzalt, it was four times larger in area than the altar of the Mishkan, which was also relatively big. So Shlomo constructs a very large altar for the purpose of animal sacrifices. And I always say when I teach Parsha, and I get up to Parshas Vayikra and Sefer Vayikra, how esoteric the concept of korbanos are for us. It's something that's very difficult for us to relate to. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed for almost 2,000 years. Rachmana Litzlan, we daven every day it should be rebuilt, but it's a very hard concept for us to understand coming close to God through animal sacrifices, and yet it is one of the absolute pillars of the Avodah in the Mishkan / Beit HaMikdash, and we read here about the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Furthermore, he makes something called the Yam, which is very interesting. Yam means, of course, sea, Yud Mem. Next pasuk, Vayas Es HaYam, and Shlomo made the sea. What was the sea? S-E-A, Yod Mem in Lashon HaKodesh. Rabbi Dean Steinzelt says it was a large basin of sorts. It was a basin. It was for washing. And we're going to explain the purpose of this yam, this sea. Eser ba'ama misfato el sfato. It was 10 cubits from brim to brim. Agol, it was saviv, agol saviv, circular all around. V'chamesh ba'ama kamaso, its height was 5 cubits. V'kav shloshim ba'ama yosov oso saviv, a 30 cubit measuring line would circle around. So he makes this very large sea, S-E-A. And furthermore, the pasuk goes on to describe, in pasuk gimel, we are told about the decoration or the embellishment that holds up this large basin. It's amazing. The image of cattle was under it. So the foundation wasn't a regular pedestal. It was cattle, like oxen or cows holding it up, encircling around beneath it. The pasuk says, Udmus bikarim tachas lo saviv saviv sovvim. Also, the image of cattle, bakar, bikarim, was under as its foundation, encircling around beneath this sea, this yam, 10 cubits surrounding the sea all around. And now Rabbi Adin Steinzelt comments and says, the sages explain, this sea had a square foundation, each side measured 10 cubits. The oxen that held up the sea, golden oxen, were divided in two rows, Perhaps one row at the front of the sea, the other row at the rear, they were cast with the sea's casting. They were cast together with the sea itself, rather than fashioned separately and joined to the sea. So some kind of huge basin to hold water, and the foundation was images of golden oxen. Very, very fascinating. And Pasuk Dalet tells us the sea stood upon 12 oxen, three facing to the north, three facing to the west, three facing to the south, three facing to the east. The sea was upon them from above, and therefore the hind parts of these golden animals were facing inward and not visible. This is very reminiscent. The sea being held up by 12 oxen, of course, is very reminiscent of the 12 Shvatim that is immediately comes to mind. That is immediately at least what comes to my mind when we read that Shlomo HaMelech had this huge basin being held up by 12 oxen. Furthermore, the fact that three of them were facing in each direction reminds us of the way the Israelites camped in the desert around the Mishkan. In the desert around the Mishkan for 40 years under the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, you had 12 tribes divided into four sides. So there were three tribes camped on each side, each direction, if you will, of the Mishkan. And that is here what comes to mind. So the 12 oxen represent great strength. It's animals that work, cattle, oxen. It's animals that work hard in the field. We know about the bracha to Yisachar. He bent his shoulder to bear the burden of Torah. It reminds us of the strength of Klal Yisrael, of the strength of Israel to bear the Ol Malchus Shamayim. And here you have 12 facing, three in each direction, very reminiscent of how the Israelites camped in the desert, which was how the actual Shvatim carried up the coffin of Yaakov Avinu, the bier of Yaakov Avinu, back to Eretz Yisrael for burial from Egypt. So there's significance in the fact that it is 12 oxen. The Psukim go on to describe the thickness of the Yam, of the sea, and how thick it was, and how thin the gold was, and the pasuk tells you it could hold great amounts of water, as much as 3,000 bat. What is 3,000 bat? Says Rabbi Adin Steidl, it's approximately 70 cubic meter, which it contained. And now this is not to be confused with the kior, which is very interesting, because in the Mishkan they had a kior, copper laver, which stood in the outer courtyard along with the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, which we mentioned at the beginning of today's shir, and the kior was used for washing. But here you have the sea, Yod Mem, S-E-A, which we have just described. And now Shlomo also made kiorim. So I am in Pasuk Vav, Vayas kiorim asara. Shlomo didn't make one kior, like in Moshe's Mishkan. He made 10 kiorim. Vayitein chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismal. He put 10 to the left, and he will put 10 to the right. And what was the purpose of them? L'rachza. For washing, the rachsa behem esmaiseh ha'ola. So the purpose of these kiorim was to wash from them the parts of the ola, the sacrifices that were brought. The hayam l'rachsa l'kohanim bo. So the yam, the sea, was for the kohanim to wash, and the kiorim was to wash the animal parts of the burnt offering. Furthermore, Pasuk Zayin, Vayas es menoros hazahav. Now, in the Mishkan, there was one menorah. In the base of Mikdash that Shlomo built, there were 10 menorot. Vayas et menorot hazahav, eser kemishpatam. He made 10 golden menorahs, 10 of them, according to the law, according to how they were supposed to be made. Vayitem behecha chamesh miyamin vechamesh mismal. So he put them into the sanctuary, just like he put 5 kiorim to the right and 5 to the left. So too, when it comes to the 10 menorot, 5 to the right and 5 to the left. So this is very interesting. And I was wondering, when I read this pasuk, so which one did they light? And which one was the mitzvah, actually, of lighting the menorah every day for the kohen to light? So Rabbi Adin Steinzeltz teaches, it is likely that there was one primary candelabra, the one crafted by Moshe that was brought from the tabernacle, from the Mishkan, and this was perhaps the only one they would light, while the 10 identical candelabra were placed around it. So this is very interesting. The Gemara tells us, I believe it's Maseches Menachos, that kol hakelim she'asa Moshe k'sherim lo v'k'sherim l'doros chutz mechatzotro Kshevim lo v'pasul l'dor. So the Gemara tells us that all the implements, the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash that Moshe made for the Mishkan were kosher for Moshe to use in the Mishkan and kosher for generations to use in the Beit HaMikdash. However, only the chatzotro, the trumpets that were constructed, Perek Yud of Parshas Bamidbar, Perek Yud of Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Baloscha, those, the trumpets, were good for Moshe and they were not good for any other generation to use. So we understand here, based on this teaching, interestingly, the Gemara tells us that all the kelim Moshe made for the Mishkan were appropriate, kosher, if you will, for all generations to use. So here we are told that these 10 menorot were for decoration, so to speak, but the one they lit was the one crafted by Moshe that was brought from the Mishkan. And you have here such a transmission of the Mesorah. It teaches us the importance, if you will, of tapping into the Mesorah, our ancestors, our Rabbanim, our grandparents, what they leave behind, what they teach us. Sure, anyone could build a menorah, and that's very beautiful. And I'm sure that the one Shlomo made were extremely opulent, given the extent of materials that he used in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to lighting the menorah, which one did they use? The one that Moshe brought from the desert, the one that Moshe passed down, that was constructed under his tutelage, and that represents not only the light of Torah and the light of God spreading through the whole world, but also the power of Mesorah and taking from our ancestors as we forge a path forward. So we have 10 Kiorim, which we read about, 10 Menorot, and Pasuk Ches tells us something else. Vayah Shulchanot Asara. He didn't only make 10 Kiorim, whereas Moshe had one. He didn't only make 10 Menorot, whereas Moshe has one. He also made 10 Shulchanot, 10 golden tables. Moshe's Mishkan only had one. Vayah Shulchanot Asara. He made 10 tables. Vayanach Behechal. He placed them in the sanctuary. Chamisha Miyamin, the Chamisha Mismol. Just like the lavers, and just like the candelabra, and just like the tables. Five to the right and five to the left. Vayas Mizrukei Zahav Meya. And he made 100 gold bowls to go along with the tables. So I was thinking to myself, just like the 12 oxen that hold up the sea represent the 12 Shvatim, perhaps we could say that the significance of 10 lavers, 10 menorot, and 10 shulchanot represent the Aseres HaDibros. So we see that even though Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash was extremely opulent, he was so wealthy, the finest materials, the grandest building, the best gold and precious gems and copper and materials and woolen, nevertheless, he was founded on Mesorah. Moshe's menorah was the one that was lit on the 12 Shvatim, 12 oxen holding up the sea, and on the Aseres HaDibros, represented in the 10 Kiorim, 10 menorot and 10 shulchanot. And it reminds us that everything that we build for God must be based on the principles of Torah, Am Yisrael, and our Mesorah, because this is what keeps our people going. And you see these ramazim, these illusions in the temple that Shlomo built. And then the Pesukim continue to tell us he made the courtyard of the priest and the great courtyard, says Rabbi Dean Steintos. This was a large, unroofed courtyard for the people who came to the temple. It was the main area of the temple. It now tells us where he placed the sea, the yam. It tells us Pasuk Yud Alef, Churam crafted the pots and the shovels and the bowls and the labor. And now the Pesukim list a whole list of Churam's work, the bronze pillars and the capitals and the orbs and the screens and the shape of the pomegranates. Amazing. And the bases and the laver atop the bases and the sea and the oxen beneath it. This is everything that Churam crafted. And the Pesukim tell us that the king cast these implements in the Jordan Plain. This is Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Kikar HaYarden Yitzakam HaMelech Ba'avi HaAdama. The king cast the implements in the Jordan Plain in an excavation in the ground between two places known as Sukkot and Tzirei Dasa. So interestingly, what is this casting? So Rabbi Dean Steinzos teaches, evidence suggests that casting was performed with a mold. Much like today, a vessel such as the sea, for example, is essentially a very large molded block, with a 5-meter opening. It was more than likely there was no containers to create a cast of this size. The sea, the yam, was so big. Instead, soft material in which such a mold could be fashioned and the ground would be created. The ceramic material required for this process is abundant in the Jordan Plain. So that's just a technical historical fact as to how they actually cast this materials. Pasuk Yirchaz tells us, Vayashlomo kol hakelim ha'ela l'rov me'od kilo nechkar mishkal nechoshes. Wow, all these vessels crafted by King Shlomo were so great, the weight of the bronze could not even be measured. Incredible. Goes to tell us that he crafted all of the vessels, the candelabra, their lamps, etc. And finally, the parak ends by telling us, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vahamizamros, Vahamizrakos, Vahakapos, Vahamachtos, Zahav Sagur. The musical instruments, the bowls, the ladles, the pans were of pure gold. Upesach Habayis, the entrance to the house, Dale Totav, its inner doors, Dalatotav, Hapnimo, the Kodesh, the inner doors to the Holy, the Kodesh HaKodashim, to the Holy of Holies, the Dalte Habaya, the Heichal Zahav, and the doors of the house which opened into the sanctuary were gold. So you see how opulent, how grand, how tremendous, literally, this house was, and how very beautiful it was, given Shlomo's great wealth. And yet you see the foundations were all based on Am Yisrael, 12 tribes, 12 oxen holding up the sea that was used for the Kohanim to wash, 10 menorot, 10 Kiorim, 10 Shulchanot to represent the Aseres Hadibros, and everything really that we build in our lives, that we do in our lives, must be dedicated to Torah Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and the Mesorah, keeping in mind that of all the beautiful candelabra he made, the one that he lit was from Moshe Rabbeinu. Thank you for learning with me today. I look forward to continuing tomorrow. Thank you for studying together. Lilui Nishma Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef Alaha Hashalom. I wish you a wonderful day. Kol Tov.